Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate it. If you like the show, subscribe to it, rate it, give us 5 stars if you think we've earned it. If you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggression. Thanks to our big sponsors that have helped out this show so much. EMP Shield is the place to go if you want to get yourself a device that you can fit to your home, to your car, to your motorhome if you have one, or a boat or a generator, whatever you've got. You might want to be proactive as opposed to reactive with regard to this. Lightning strikes happen all the time. Solar flares happen from time to time. EMP strikes hopefully don't happen, but boy, it's a possibility. It's out there. And if one goes off, we're in a real world of hurt. So I'll tell you what, EMP Shield is building the best device out there, at least. You can go check it out. Go to empshield.com. And if you find something you like, use the promo code MACRO. That'll save you a bunch of money. Also, if you get bundle packages, that'll save you money as well. So check it out. See what you think. If you want, you can pull the trigger and install it yourself. There's installation videos on their website, or you can just have an electrician come out and do it. But this is the ultimate in being proactive. EMPShield.com is the place to go for that. Also, thanks to Legal Shield, they've been in business for half a century in the United States and Canada with an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. It's a very simple concept. We get enough people together and get them to pay a very small, reasonable amount, we can lock down high-powered law firms in your area and have them do a lot of work on behalf of our clients. That's what happens. That's what Legal Shield's been doing for 50 years. They've been getting people access to high-powered attorneys for a very reasonable price. $1 a day. Pretty reasonable. $30 a month will get you in the door. So I'll tell you what, you can get all kinds of legal documents taken care of, paperwork, have them review your contracts for you. If you got a speeding ticket that you think was nonsense, if you've got a red light camera ticket, those are definitely nonsense. Send all that stuff to your attorney. Let them sort it out for you. Just say, hey, I got this. Take a look at it. See what you think. You know, this is the benefit of having access to it. So go to the website. Take a look and see what you think. There's so much information on there. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the domain they made just for us. You can find out everything about not just Legal Shield, but also the a la carte items that you can add on in addition to your membership. If you carry a gun and you want documentation for that, they've got it. If you're running a small business, and you need a small business legal department, they've got that too. So there's a lot going on: Identity Shield, credit monitoring, reputation management, all kinds of stuff. You should at least just go to the website and check it out. Just see what you think. www.don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to go. Well, I'll tell you, I'm naming this episode the most dangerous company you've never heard of. But if you live in the UK, there's a pretty good chance you've heard of Serco. Oh, you might have heard of Serco. They don't get a lot of publicity. I mean, they don't get a lot of good publicity. Let's put it that way. You know, if you're doing your job the way you're supposed to do it, you fly under the radar. Well, Serco is kind of known for being kind of bad at their jobs. And when you kind of understand who they are and what they do and, you know, what they're involved in, what you would find is that all those issues that you have with government, you know, incompetency, bloated budgets, people that just don't give a shit about doing the job or doing it well, and all those components of government that are so unlikable, Serco's got all that too. So they're like, when you outsource all of the garbage, and in the case of the United Kingdom, quite literally outsourcing the garbage in the form of garbage collection to a company like Serco, you just get more government. So it's a private company, but it acts like the government because they do a lot of the things that the government doesn't want to do. They outsource them to Serco. And then Serco says, well, we'll take your management style, which is fucking up everything that you touch, and then we'll just incorporate that into our business model and we'll fuck everything up as well. We'll just charge you for it, which is what Serco does. So it was founded in 1929 as the United Kingdom's division of RCA, Radio Corporation of America, right? So this has been around for all, we're coming up on 100 years that Serco has been around, but it's a spinoff of RCA, and RCA has some deep state ties that are, you know, very well known. So whenever you start to talk about some multinational firm that kind of, you know, comes out, it has all these government contracts, I think it's important to dig in the best that you can, find out like who they are. You know, is it some guys that just put this team together last week and they're servicing contracts? Or is this a company that's been around for 100 years? I don't know which one's worse, to be honest with you, because you almost don't want a company that's been around for 100 years and has all these devious ties, because then you know that they're up to no good. But then again, what are you going to do with somebody that just started business, just went into business last month and decides they're going to handle the contract? So how do you manage that balance between experience and not so much experience that you become part of this permanent state? And Serco has done a really bad job of all of it. They're really good at getting government contracts, though. They're excellent at that. That is their bread and butter. They know how to navigate. I mean, I'm not saying that they're bribing the people in the higher ups of power in the United Kingdom, but you don't really need to. You just do kind of like what Lockheed Martin was doing, which is you just put them on the payroll after they're done working there, right? You just give them a job as a lobbyist or a consultant who plays golf with powerful people, and then they get deals done. That's one way to do all of this. So this company employs 50,000 people, so it's a big one, right? It's based in Hook in Hampshire. I've been to Hampshire. The last time I was in London in 2019, we went to Hampshire and we stayed there for a night, and it's beautiful. And I remember thinking, once I discovered that Serco was based there, I thought, well, that's kind of weird, you know, like you would think that they would, I don't know, they'd be in right in the heart of London. And you wouldn't think that they would be in such a beautiful English countryside, you know, to be committing such atrocities as they are. The scenery doesn't match the psychopathy with regard to Serco. So next time you get out to, if you're ever, in that area and you can make a detour to Hampshire, it's beautiful. And it really is. It's a great place out there. We had a opportunity to stay there, and we took them up on it. So let's just describe this company as as a British multinational deep state operator. Sound good? Sound fair? I mean, because that's really kind of what it is. They work off of government services. They take care of government services. The government has all of these tasks that they need to fulfill, obligations, things that come with, you know, when you pay your taxes, you want your government to do certain things. And the government doesn't like to do any of those things. So what they do is they just take your tax money and then outsource it to somebody else who can do all those things, because they're too busy being the government that they can't get bogged down in like picking up trash and stuff like that. So they hire Serco to do that. And then they pay them with tax money that, you know, you pay the government, and then the government takes your tax money and gives it to Serco. Now, that'd be fine, I guess, if they were really good at their job. It'd be one thing if they were like, the government has recognized their massive incompetence and they have outsourced it to this private company because the private company is going to do a much better job. Now, if that was the mentality behind this, I'd almost be fine with it. Be like, great, you know, to anything, the fewer things that the government does or touches, the better, right? If the government, in some sort of epiphany, some sort of post-ayahuasca self-exploration trip, decided, you know, we're really bad at all these things. Maybe we should just outsource it to somebody else who likes doing them. We don't even like doing servicing the people. We hate the people. What if we found a company that we could outsource this to and they could do it? They do a much better job. We'd pay them well. And then we'd just say, you guys do all this. And we could find that company and they would be, you know, if the government had that sort of epiphany and then went out and found a fantastic company or a variety of multiple companies that were really good at what they did, good. That'd be like the government raising its consciousness level to the point where it had the ability for self-reflection. That would be amazing. That's not happening, unfortunately. Yeah. So well, let me put it this way. Part of it's happening. I'm not saying that they recognize that they're bad at what they do. I don't think they'll ever recognize that or admit it. But the outsourcing definitely is happening. And what we're going to get into with this is I want to get into to sort of who this company is. If we're talking about it here, I assure you it matters for a reason. I'm not going to talk to you about interdimensional Chuck E. Cheeses. I love that stuff, but that's OBDM. You know, you can get into that. If I'm talking about Serco, you better believe that they're involved in some nefarious activities that are going to impact you. Now, and in this case, definitely in the UK, it's going to impact you, but certainly not limited to that. So let's talk about this. They do about $5 billion a year in revenue. They are in the defense industry, the citizen services industry, transportation, healthcare, facilities management, and that encompasses quite a broad variety of things, including jails, prisons, immigrant detention centers, and the like. So they are almost inseparable from the government in terms of the tasks that they do, the needs that they fulfill for the government. They do all the stuff the government doesn't really want to do. So, listen, this company is super sketchy, okay? When you have this tight of a relationship with the government, you're automatically on the wrong side of things. But also, beyond just having a relationship with the government, what we've found is that the government has let them slide on a bunch of stuff, a bunch of crimes and fraud and rule breaking, contract breaking, outright. Felonies. The court system in the UK has given them a pass on a lot of stuff. So they're not just in business with the government. In some respects, they are the government. They're just a private version of it. They have all the negative things that you you know, feel about government. You could feel that way about Serco. But to be fair, also the Venn diagram of people that worked in public services that now work in Serco is 85%. All right, so it's almost a full circle. It's almost completely eclipsing one another. They draft people. They pull people in to work at Serco that have been working in citizen services their whole life, you know? So they take the bureaucrats that hate their job in the public sector and give them a job in the private sector that they can screw up as well. So they have this reputation of being involved in everything, yet conveniently invisible when they need to be, you know? It's just kind of how they are. They'll get involved in just about any industry where they can leverage their government contracts, you know, they can leverage their government influence to secure government contracts. They do that all over the place. They're into everything. We're going to get into a list of this. Let's start with one that seems extremely important. Serco manages, and by the way, Serco, S-E-R-C-O. All right, that's the name of the corporation. They manage the British military bases. Okay, now the military doesn't man. Now you would think. I mean, we're all going to try and come at this with like our brains functioning and logic, and you're not gonna need the logic part because it's not going to make a whole lot of sense. But the UK military, they don't manage their own stuff. They do almost nothing. They just have troops and they have guns and they have ideas. But in terms of like management of the military, day-to-day operations of the military, that's all been outsourced to Serco. So this is right off the bat, we're getting into a very bad place where the UK government and their military is now dependent on a private corporation to, when I say private, I mean not governmental. It's publicly traded, but it's not governmental. You're worried about you're tied to a private company in order to make sure that your military runs well. That should never happen. You know, that you should never have that flaw in the system where if the private company that you're working with gets themselves into trouble and goes bankrupt or whatever, then all of a sudden, like, you can't fly your airplanes or get food into your troops or anything. Serco manages the bases, all the bases. Okay. This is what they do. This is the main thing what they do. But as we get to the through this episode, what you'll find is that it's one thing that they do, but they do quite a bit others. So they provide logistical support for the military. They manage nuclear power plants for the energy sector. That's kind of important. Again, as you move up this pyramid, let's stick with our New World Order pyramid. But as you move up this pyramid of power, you wind up becoming extremely important in a variety of needs. So if you're a company like Serco and you're up to no good, there's criminal activity happening left, right, and center. The more needed you are by the British government, the more they turn their back on your crimes. And that's what happens when you manage the nuclear power plants. And they need you to continue to manage the nuclear power plants. You can't very well put the C-level management in prison. They should be. All of them should be. But you can't do that if you want your military bases to run and your logistical support to be there and your nuclear power plants to produce energy. You can't. So at a certain point, these companies become indistinguishable from the government. The government can't control them because to control them is to shoot themselves in the foot. They perform safety inspections of these nuclear power plants. So they manage the power plants and then they do the safety inspections for the power plants too. They run the air traffic control in the UK. They run the air traffic control in the United States.
Yes.
On very, I'll get to the stats on that one, on how many of the, I think it's like 50 or something bases or airports that Serco runs the air traffic control. The air traffic control for your airport might be run by Serco if you're in the US. If you're in the UK, it's definitely run by Serco. You know what Greenwich Mean Time is? You know, the time of the world that's set in the UK, and that's kind of where Serco runs that. They could you imagine, like, let's just envision, go with me on this, just this fantasy for a second, but there's a meeting at the White House where the CEO of Serco is sitting down with Kamala Harris, and he's explaining to Kamala Harris that he is in charge of time. Could you imagine what the little hamster on the wheel in her head would just keel over and drop dead? Her trying to comprehend the fact that Serco is in charge of managing time. They are. They're in charge of managing air traffic control and setting Greenwich Mean Time with like a supercomputer, that like an atomic clock and all this good stuff. So for those of you that lived through COVID in the UK, you might have remembered the test and trace program that the NHS rolled out poorly, I might add. Guess who managed that program? Guess who managed that pile of horse shit? Serco did. And we're going to get into a little bit more as we go about kind of what that means and who knew about this in advance. Hint, he goes by the name Bill Gates. Anyway, they've been working on the importation of migrants into the UK. I mean, not officially. They're supposed to work the detention centers for the immigrants that come in. But what you'll find is that there's kind of an incentive for them to induce migrants to come to the UK. And of course, they have been found being involved in that, which is not a surprise. When you get the contract to manage the detention centers where all the immigrants are coming in, you've start to view those immigrants as an asset, not a liability. You see them as dollar signs. We need more. Give me more. And we'll talk more about that as we go, but I just want to kind of like give an overview, a little bit about like what Serco is into. I mean, they're working with these migrants at the detention center. When I say they screwed up the track and trace program in the UK, they screwed it up for you. They didn't screw it up for themselves. They made £108 million on that deal. That they were just fine. But you might have had a hard time dealing with things. They run the UK's Atomic Weapons Division. I'll say that again. Serco, a private company, runs the United Kingdom's military's Atomic Weapons Divisions. And they manage the ballistic missiles. Do I have your attention? They also pick up the trash. So this is the problem with this company, well, among many, is that they do a little bit of everything. And I call me old-fashioned. I like the idea of a company that specializes in something. Like if they said, we are the best at atomic weapons management in the world, I'd say, great, we need to talk to you. If they followed up that and say, and we can also pick up all your trash, I'd be like, what? Why? You're in the atomic weapons industry. You're also picking up trash? They're like, yeah, we do everything. You know, those cameras that are installed on the freeways, motorways, whatever, in the UK that give you speeding tickets, that the speeding ticket camera, we put those in too. And you're like, really? Like, yeah, we do everything. Serco does everything. They manage the satellites in the UK. Did you know that? Yeah. Again, you can't knock a gypsy out and without hitting some aspect of Serco's reach in here. You want to talk about an octopus? Octopus Corporation. Yeah, Serco is it. They oversee the communications networks of the UK. All of them. I'm not talking military. I'm talking region. I'm talking about consumer as well. They run the private prisons. They're the largest operator of private prisons. There are other companies that do that as well. They run the immigration centers. They manage the transportation companies that supply the prisons that they manage and the immigrant centers that they manage. So imagine this. They want all the links in the supply chain. They want when these guys get off the boat at Dover and they come across because they've been funded by Soros and they get picked up by the police, they are taken by transport that Serco runs to an immigrant detention center that Serco runs. Okay. So this is what I'm talking about. They want to be involved in as many aspects of this as they can. They do the street cleaning. They run the traffic lights. They run the trash collecting process and they handle the recycling. Again, there's no task too little or too big for these guys to get involved in. They run, so they've got the prisons, the private prisons and the private immigrant detention centers, right? Then they run the healthcare services, the healthcare companies that provide services to the prisons and the detention center. Serco manages that as well. So again, if you've got the right company, you know, right meaning an efficient, effective, well-oiled machine, then you can manage the transportation, housing, medical, all of this stuff for these prisoners or detainees effectively with one stop, right? However, if the corporation that runs this is run by psychopaths that mismanage everything because they don't care because they get government money for doing a poor job and there's no incentive to do a good job, well, then you get Serco, unfortunately. And then you get every single aspect of this person's life, this migrant that gets off the boat, gets detained, gets transported, gets put into a center, gets health services, gets food services, gets all that. Every aspect of that person's life is decided by Serco. So again, like you're putting all of your eggs in one very rickety and disgusting basket that has been around for 100 years. I mean, if you thought that Pfizer and Monsanto are hated internationally and globally, people that have to deal with Serco feel the same way. They help the government to spy on citizens because that's their job. That's part of what they do. So again, I mentioned that they manage the satellites and they manage the communication networks. They oversee these communication networks and then they take all that information and they give it to the government. Because again, the government can't do that. That's bad. So the government puts a layer in between themselves and you by putting Serco in the middle. And they say, we didn't do that. This other company did it. You know, we didn't have anything to do with that. So that's how they get involved with this. And that's how they provide themselves a layer of plausible deniability as a politician. You say, what do you want me to do, man? We hired Serco. I didn't know they were going to run this operation like maniacs. Well, the answer is, of course you did. They always do. But it gives the politician the opportunity to say, I don't know. It wasn't my fault. It was theirs. And if you're a politician, you've always got to be able to deflect blame onto somebody else. So they train helicopter pilots. That's an important job. They maintain military aircraft. That's an important job. Again, if the British government got on the wrong side of Serco, if they punished them a little bit too much, well, who's going to train the helicopter pilots? Who's going to maintain the military aircraft? Who's going to manage the military bases or run the atomic weapons division or manage the satellites or oversee the communications networks? You understand? This is the problem. When one company is this embedded, is that you can't punish them. Because if Serco decides that they are taking their ball and going home, you're screwed. You don't know how to do any of this stuff. And by the way, it's not like people wouldn't know. They would immediately know this. You want to talk about a country, anybody that has a problem with the United Kingdom, like they'd be like lining up. They're saying, well, the defenses are down. Now's your chance. They handle nuclear waste management and, which again, pretty important. And they run schools for kids in Canada. So all that education, indoctrination that you're getting, thanks Serco for that. They're deeply involved. They work with GCHQ to spy and gather information on citizens. But of course, again, what would you expect? They've got all the toys to do that, the satellites and everything. But here's the thing about them. They have all these connections. They make all this money. They get all these contracts. They do all these projects. But they fail on so many of them. Not all of them, but a lot. You know, the trash gets picked up. The low-hanging fruit stuff, they do that. They're not bad at that. But the track and trace program was an unmitigated disaster. Matt Hancock was the one, he authorized that. The health secretary, Hat Mancock, the guy that went off onto, didn't he do some reality show? Get me out of here. I'm a celebrity, where they like leave you naked on a island for a while. They should have Lord of the Flies, that guy. But this is a group that fails. Serco fails on a lot of stuff. Their contracts, they ran health clinics. They implement policy in a sense, but they don't set it. They don't set the policy. The government sets the policy, and then they hand it out to Serco, and they say, "Now you go implement it or enforce it." So that's kind of where they. Those are some of the aspects that they're involved in. Let's talk about this, not just in the UK, but let's talk about the role of Serco globally. Because do you remember, and how could you forget, the COVID concentration camps in Australia? Do you remember that? They set up these camps. Then they did photo shoots there with these like young 20-something looking girls that were like, living their best life out on the front patio of their prison cell. I mean, tiny home, having a cup of coffee, living, you know, living it up here. Just an Abercrombie and Fitch ad waiting to happen, right? And there's all these pictures of it. And you go, these are detention camps. This is a prison. What you're not showing are the barbed wire and fences that are surrounding this thing. Well, those things were all in the news. You know who ran them, right? It wasn't the Australian government. It was Serco. They're the ones in charge of that. The public buses in Adelaide are run by Serco. 15-minute city, you say? They would be in charge of it. So when you understand who is running the public transportation in your city, if you notice that it's Serco, just keep an eye on that. If you're in Dubai, the metro, the tube station, the underground subway system in Dubai, it's run by Serco. And let me ask you this. And again, this is me just being a little bit paranoid, but not for nothing. You know, I kind of have reasons to be. But what happens if they just decide that they don't want to run the subway anymore? Now, this is Dubai. There's a million other ways to get around Dubai. But let's say you're in Adelaide and Serco just decides COVID is too dangerous. The new COVID, whatever it is, COVID-24, is too dangerous. We're shutting down the buses in Adelaide. And you go, what? We need these. And they go, well, we can do it. And you say, well, the government has got to get involved. The government has got to say these buses have got to be running. And the government says, our hands are tied. We have a contract with Serco. They're a private company. Take it up with them. And Serco says, we're shutting it down. Now, what they don't know, what the people don't know, is that the government said to Serco, shut it down. We're doing the 15-minute city. We're doing COVID policies. Shut it down. What's to stop them from doing this? Again, another layer of plausible deniability for the government to say, it's not our fault. We're not the bad guys. We would totally get these buses running again, or the trains up and running. We would make the trains run on time if we could, but Serco's in charge. So, you know, that's something international. How about here in the United States? You don't hear much about them here, but in 2008, the Serco Group UK bought a company called SI International for $525 million, and they merged it into what's now known as Serco North America. And this has 9,000 employees, $1.5 billion a year in revenue, and it controls 54 air traffic control towers in the United States. So again, this is a company you need to keep your eyes on, because where they go, they get involved in the types of things that are involved with the movement of people. Okay. So when you start talking about climate lockdowns and climate emergencies and all these authoritarian fantasies that these people have, and they discuss terms in this like the moving of people, that is code for putting people in concentration camps. When they talk about movement of people, movements of groups of people, you're not getting relocated to a Holiday Inn. You're getting relocated to a concentration camp that Serco runs in the Australian outback, or where was that? Northern Territory? I think so. So Serco Australia doesn't just run the concentration camps. They also run an important factor that you would need with putting people into the concentration camps. Can you think of something that you would need in order to get large groups of people into concentration camps all at once? Do you remember how they did it in the 40s? They did it by trains. Do you know who runs the two cross-country trains in Australia? Serco. Okay. This is what we're talking about. They have a presence on every single military base in Australia. So for those of you out there, I have a huge Australian audience. Shout out to you guys. You're the best. I love the Australian people. And I love Australia, the country. I've been there. It's a great place, man. Your government is the worst, though. It really is, man. You got to get the fuck out of there if you can. You know, you guys got to Max Egan it and get out of there like last minute as the police are searching for you. Police are showing up at your house and Max Egan's getting on a plane to Thailand. See ya, suckers. I'm serious, though. If you guys can get out of there. Whew. Because we know where this is going, right? It's not good. I mentioned I was Bill Gates. Let's get into this. Everybody's favorite bad guy. He bought 3.7 million shares of Serco back in July of 2019. Isn't that interesting? I don't expect everybody here to be licensed financial investment advisors or something like that. But if you know that COVID is coming, and Bill Gates knew that COVID was coming, and you know that there is a company that is going to more than likely get the track and trace contract, that's going to be in charge of the prisons, that's going to be in charge of instituting vaccine compliance, and you know that there's going to be a big event, it might not be the worst investment to buy some Serco stock. But you'd need to make sure you did it before the pandemic broke out. So you would need to do it sometime. Oh, I don't know. Let's see. When did the pandemic really break out? March of 2020. You'd want to do it before then, but you wouldn't want to make it so obvious like that you did it the week before then. So you do it a couple of months before, and like, oh, I don't know, July 2019, which is when Bill Gates bought 3.7 million shares of Serco stock right before the pandemic. What a coincidence. I'm sure this is a gigantic, just good luck on his part. Sometimes you just got to be lucky, right? Bill Gates is so lucky. He's so lucky. There's no way he would have known that there was going to be, you know, that this company was going to be in charge of housing the migrants. He would have never known that. Who could know that there was going to be a massive migrant influx? Up the guys sitting at the United Nations meetings and the World Economic Forum meetings and all that good stuff, you know, where Bill Gates would be. I'd also like to point out that 3 months after Bill Gates made this purchase, Event 201 went down, which is run by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in conjunction with Johns Hopkins Medical Health University. So, you know, just another coincidence here. There was a point when whistleblowers came forward to talk about Serco. They were they came out and said that the company was faking data to make the accounting look a lot different for all these clinics that they were running. So as soon as they did that, as soon as the whistleblowers came out, then Circa was like apoplectic, of course, right? The quality of care as soon as Circa took over these clinics, the quality of care like cratered immediately. There were massive amounts of complaints and everything. And then some of these guys came forward from the company and they said, we're faking all these numbers. I don't know what to tell you. Like the numbers that they're giving you are not right. And so what happened was this massive scandal unfolded. This was from 2010 to 2013. What was happening was that Serco, who runs the prisons and immigration component of this, were tracking and tagging, not in a vaccine way, in a ankle monitor type of way, the prisoners out on parole type of stuff. They were in charge of that program. They were putting the ankle monitors on the prisoners that were getting released in order to keep an eye on them and keep them in the parole or whatever the UK's version of that is. Nothing inherently wrong about that or nefarious. That's a job that somebody does. And normally in the US, it's done by the prison system. But, here it's... in the UK, I guess it's outsourced. So what happened was that these electronic tagging ankle bracelets, 1 in 6 that they were charging the UK government for didn't exist. 1 out of every 6 ankle bracelets, they didn't exist. And they faked it. They pretended like they did exist. And one of the ways they got caught was that it was like, some of the people were actually dead. They had died. They were no longer alive. You know what I mean? So they weren't around for, they just weren't there to have an ankle bracelet put on them. They were dead. And like when they examined the records, they're like, you charged us for all these ankle bracelets for people that either didn't exist anymore, where some of them were back in prison. They're like, you're charging us for this, for Bob Jenkins from, Oxford. Bob Jenkins has been back in prison for the last 18 months. Like you've been charging us for this guy for years now. And so they got busted. And the Serious Fraud Office got involved. And the Serious Fraud Office is a hilarious name for an office, if you ask me. But it turned into a big deal in the UK. And it was going on from 2010 to 2014 and then, or 2013. And then they discovered it and nobody went to prison. Because nobody goes to prison. They did something called a deferred prosecution agreement, which means we'll punish you later if you're bad ever again, which is hilarious. I mean, funny. I don't think I would get that deal. Isn't that weird? But look, they faked this. They faked the having these ankle bracelets because Serco is a criminal enterprise run by criminals doing criminal shit. This isn't the first time. It won't be the last time either. So they break their contracts constantly. They're lawfare fuckers for sure. They'll just tell you to sue them. They've been sued multiple times. They paid a £68 million fine for this tracking or for the electronic tagging situation. They paid another £2 million fine for prisoner. They have a prisoner escort transportation company. They got them. They caught. They were, creating like fraudulent trips with that. They got busted. They had to pay $2 million. They're like the Pfizer of government services in the UK. And they just constant like run by criminals.
top to bottom, criminal activity, getting busted, nothing happens, do it over again, nobody goes to jail, nothing, you know. So this is the problem when you get, you know, when you get to the level that they're at. But it could be worse. Unfortunately, it could be a whole lot worse, because in the UK, like a decade ago, the Tory party proposed to allow Serco and G4S to perform arrests, to basically deputize them and make them like a private police force. Like, holy shit. Could you imagine how bad that would be? Like privatizing thuggery? Oh my God, that's just such a bad idea. So they're processing, you know, the people arriving from the UK through Serco. That's the immigration detention centers are a huge moneymaker for them, mostly Africans, you know, crossing the North Africans and Middle Eastern, crossing the English Channel. And that's where they pick them up. They picked up 40,000 of them last year, mostly men under 40, as they described as fighting age men under 40. That doesn't sound like an agenda or anything. Wink, wink. Where are all the pregnant women? Right, where are all the women escaping tyranny for a better life? It seems like, if I didn't know any better, it seems like George Soros and his crew are trying to destabilize the UK by financing all of these people under the guise of protecting human rights or something like that. But I would have to be a crazy tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist to believe that, because George Soros said on his 60 Minute document, oh wait, yeah, he said he doesn't have any compassion, doesn't feel bad about ratting out fellow Jews during the Holocaust. And yeah, well, yeah, maybe George Soros is involved in this. Of course he is. His Open Society has been found on multiple occasions, creating like professionally made pamphlets and booklets for all of the people crossing and showing them the maps and how they go through Turkey and what the proper channel is and where to go and who to talk to and who not to talk to and where to get on a boat and where not to get on a boat and all those things. George Soros is involved. So what are the countries? Here's the top 10 people arriving from foreign countries into the United Kingdom for immigration purposes. Number one, Albania. Number two, Afghanistan. Number three, Iran. Number four, Iraq. Number five, Syria. Six is Eritrea. Seven is Sudan. Eight is Egypt. Nine is Vietnam. And number 10 on the list is Kuwait. So if you're in the UK and you notice a bunch of people from these countries, you'll understand that at some point they pass through Serco's hands at some detention facility, or on the bus from the detention facility, or wherever. They got them. So, and here's the next version of this that I think the people have been kind of up in arms about, is the housing of these immigrants in the UK is a big business. They just signed there's a £2.9 billion contract for housing that Serco received. And this is for them to start doing five-year leases all around the countryside. They were looking for northwest of England, Midlands, east of England region. 20,000 asylum seekers they've got, they're putting in these places. And so what they're doing is that they're cutting deals with landlords. Anybody that's got, you know, an apartment complex, or maybe owns multiple houses and uses a couple of them as rentals, Serco's approaching those landlords and saying, I'll do a 5-year lease. I'll cover any, you know, security deposits, all that stuff. It's a deal too good to be true. And nobody can compete against Serco with this, because they're giving them too much money, because they're getting government money. And so the landlords are signing up and evicting working class people in order to replace them with migrants that Serco's paying for. So this is the direction that we're headed. And this is why I think it's really kind of a dangerous spot, because, you know, you start to incentivize people to move into a certain section. You move out the locals and you move in the migrants, and then the migrants click up and some of them assimilate with the people of their new country that they've just invaded, really. Some of them integrate well with people and some don't. And it might be person to person, or it might be just culturally. So what winds up happening is that you change the makeup, the mix of these regions. And that is done intentionally. That is a destabilizing tactic. Now, I'm not trying to say that the migrants are bad people, that everywhere they go, they ruin everything. They just do things differently. They have different attitudes and cultures, and they prioritize different things. So that is, you know, it's an agenda of destabilization, and you can destabilize through a variety of ways. But one of the ways in which you can do that is to take people that aren't from this region and put them there. And then tell the people that are from that region, you're not allowed to have a problem with it. You're not allowed to fight with them. You're not allowed to be mad about it. You're not allowed to complain about that. If you do, you're racist. Now, we've seen all of the, I've seen the headlines of like rapes up, you know, throughout, you know, crazy rape statistics out of Sweden and the UK and places where it's like, oh, if we've moved all these middle-aged men of under 40 fighting age into this region, and then we got a bunch of rapes. I can't believe this is happening. Really? You can't believe this? What did you think was going to happen? Again, it feels a little bit like premeditation to me. And so I have questions, you know, I have questions about this public-private partnership that Serco has with the government. What I've realized is, in examining them, is that, you know, the problem reaction solution concept, Serco is the solution. They're the ones that are brought in order to provide the solution. Now, the policy is set at the higher levels of government, but the implementation of that is set at the lower levels through Serco. And so when you have a problem that foments a reaction and you offer a solution, the people that are going to be implementing the solution, in the UK at least, is Serco. And that's why it's really kind of important to understand this. I mean, they run the naval and marine operations for the British military, not just in the UK, but around the world. They're everywhere. So they're an intelligent. I mean, when you do that, you are a de facto intelligence agency as well. You are gathering a ton of information all the time. You think that the UK government doesn't, the British government doesn't lean on Serco and say, give us what you found. You were managing this port in India and you guys are in charge of security. Tell us who's coming in and out of here. What box is it? Who's shipping things in? Who do you have anything come through recently from Raytheon that looks like it's going to Pakistan or someplace? Like, tell us what you see. So of course this is going on. Again, they provide satellite communications for the British Armed Forces. So like they would know. They would know. Frankly, they would know before the British military would know. And they run the UK ballistic early warning system. Did they run the early warning system in Hawaii too, in Maui? Because the incompetence is on a, well, I don't know if it's on the same level, but it's pretty high. And here's something that I think, given what I know, if I had come across this 20 years ago, I wouldn't have understood what this means. But given what I know now, I want to tell you that they run the National Crime Squad's child base pedophile catching program. 20 years ago, I would have said, congratulations, that's a great thing. These days, you know what I have come to understand is that the people that are in charge of catching the pedophiles are often the pedophiles themselves. And when you get into high-ranking government officials and agencies that are tasked with putting a stop to this sort of thing, those are always just fronts for facilitating it. I wish it were different. I wish it wasn't the case. Unfortunately, it is. When you look into these groups that do a lot of help for young kids, unfortunately, what you find is that a lot of young kids that they are helping go missing. And that's horrifying. I'm not saying that Serco is taking kids. I'm just saying that what I've come to discover is that
the agencies responsible for protecting kids are often the ones harming them. And considering they're running the National Crime Squad's Child Base Project, which is supposed to be helping kids get away from pedophiles, I have questions. That's all. Hopefully they're not up to no good, but I have questions. They installed all the speed cameras on the highways. I think I might have mentioned that. Did I mention that they give false readings on those? So they're not even good ones. Like, they didn't even bother to get good ones. And they run the toll roads, and they run the Docklands Light Railway in East London. So again, they're involved in a lot of the background infrastructure components of day-to-day city life, especially, you know, in the UK in general, London in particular, that people don't really think about. But this is a group that's involved. And I want to put their, you know, I've been talking about what a bad reputation they have. I just want to put it in context for a second, because there's an offshore law firm named Appleby. I mean, itself, this offshore law firm was involved in and embroiled in the Paradise Papers banking scandal themselves. But this law firm that runs sensitive government services in Australia and UK, that's how they describe themselves, even they describe Serco as, quote, high risk. And they called them a high-risk client, and that they were concerned about Serco's, quote, history of problems, failures, fatal errors, and overcharging. Lying, thieving, murderous failures. That's Serco's reputation, you know? So it's not good. These people have been in business for damn near 100 years. The prisons that they've maintained in the UK have had hunger strikes due to poor conditions. They've had guards at Yarlswood Immigration Detention Center that were busted for extorting sex from migrants that they had captured, saying, you come have sex with me and I'll help you in the immigration process. So they've been busted extorting them for that. They're scumbags. They're outright scumbags. They do government things when you want them to just pick up the trash. So, again, there's some great work that Jason Goodman, Crowdsource the Truth, has done in years past with regard to Serco's role in 9/11. I am unable to even dig into all of that because it's so... it's so massive. But if you go back in Jason's work to about 2020, you can find some outstanding reports that he did where they dug into, like, imagine the worst case scenario of 9/11, which would be all the bad stuff of 9/11, but adding a penthouse party where the well-connected global elites were watching it unfold and placing massive bets on it with each other. Like as if they're at the Super Bowl betting on, you know, the over-under of the game. I can't get into all of that. There's too much detail. I don't know it that well. I don't know it well enough to get into that, but it's fascinating stuff. Serco's a important group, you know, and it's an important company to keep an eye on. They're going to be involved in your business one way or another. So you might as well know who they are so that you can position yourself accordingly. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggression, on Instagram at macroaggression_podcast, website theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, and I will talk to you all again soon. Take care.